Good morning, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. As we continue our series in Galatians, we're highlighting both the power and the beauty of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is the solid ground upon which we stand. It brings great clarity and freedom and joy. As we live our life, and as Tim referenced earlier, the battles that we face in life. So praise the Lord for the work of the gospel all over the world. This is what Galatians is about. No matter who you are, where you're from, Christ is for you. What brings us together this morning is our common faith in Christ. The gospel saves and transforms people from all walks of life, all backgrounds. The Lord is worthy of our very best efforts and generosity when engaging in ministry. So praise the Lord for the work of the gospel. That's Kyrgyzstan this morning, which is right next to Kazakhstan. So Paul's letter to the Galatians was his attempt to address head-on some of the problems that many of us face, not just those in Galatia. We know that salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Yet, we sometimes develop this misguided notion to live our life as if our performance, how well we do, is the basis of our ongoing good relationship with God. God will love me if I do X, Y, and Z. God will be angry with me if I don't do X, Y, and Z. Unfortunately, many Christians live in the shadow of various forms of legalism, which on some levels revert us to the thought patterns we had before we were born again. It is these bad thought patterns, destructive and unhealthy, that Paul is addressing to the Galatians. So this morning, let's begin with a question. In Galatians in particular, you have a very unique tapestry of words and concepts that are used to explain and clarify the gospel. This morning we have a very unique pairing of words that I want to highlight. So here's the question. How do the words heir and redeem form the basis of the entire New Testament narrative? If you read the New Testament, you will eventually see that it's all about these two words. Think about that for a moment. We don't often see these words together. But as we walk through our passage this morning, think about that question. How does the word heir and the word redeem form the very basis of what the New Testament is all about? Paul is writing to the Galatians to make sure that the uncomplicated gospel does not become polluted in their minds. The gospel means good news because it actually is good news. It is the best news that we could ever hear. Salvation, being saved from the penalty and the power of our sins, it is by the grace of God and only through faith in Christ. We do not bring our good works to the table to impress God. Salvation is actually apart from our good works. When we put our faith in Christ alone as our Savior, we are completely forgiven and adopted into God's forever family. A primary focus of the Christian life is learning to rest. to rest on what Christ has done for us. To remember every single day that the suffering of Christ is indeed sufficient for all of my sins. The suffering of Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, God's provision for me is more than sufficient for my sins, my failures, past, present, and future. That is the beauty of the gospel. Yes, we pursue holiness. We love God and we serve God with all of our heart, but that flows from gratitude to from all that God has done for us. So here are some of the words that we encountered last week that were key words as Paul worked through his thoughts. Contrary, imprisoned, promised, captive, guardian, baptized, male and female. There's a lot there. Well, the next slide, here's what we'll look at this morning. Slave, spirit, fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, heir, and something you'll only see in Galatians, Abba, Father. These concepts, though you might not find them together in other settings, they form a beautiful tapestry to help us see the clarity and the power and the beauty and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is no wonder that Paul addressed these issues head on with the Galatians, because the Judaizers were coming in and muddying the waters and messing everything up. But if there's one word that I would like to highlight this morning in particular that is absolutely key, it's this word, the word redeem. Redeem means to purchase out of. It is a sense of giving freedom when there was no freedom to begin with. It is a very important New Testament word. It's usually associated with the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we consider our text this morning, keep these words in mind, but in particular, watch out for the word redeem. And, as I said earlier, redeem and heir. Because when we understand these truths, the gospel can never become uncomplicated to it or complicated to us. As Christians, we are said to be redeemed, purchased out of the marketplace of sin, saved from both the penalty and the power of sin. We are saved out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have indeed become co-heirs with Christ. This is the excellency of the gospel. We are both redeemed from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sin, but we are also saved to eternal glory. We don't speak about that aspect of salvation enough. What we are saved to. It could be said that the former develops a love for the Lord that wasn't there before. The latter develops unbridled joy in anticipation of what is ahead. We are heirs of all the salvation blessings that are promised in Scripture. Fellow Christians, these are truths that the New Testament pounds home in letter after letter in your New Testament. James, Peter, Paul, all those guys, they're all speaking to the same thing. So let's make sure that we see the entire picture to help us along in our heavenly, in our heavenward journey. How can we ever call Almighty God Abba, Father? Abba is a very close and endearing term. It shows that we have been brought close and near and in good relation to the one who is thrice holy. After our service today, we'll have a powerful reminder of all of this as Elise Yeh gets baptized. Now keep this in mind. I showed this picture last week. I just want to bring this to your attention again. This is about 11 years ago. As we were building this building, part of the process was to dig up our entire parking lot and start from scratch. When I saw that picture, it reminds me that this is the work that the Lord needs to continue to do in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. That we would turn up the soil of our hearts and our thought processes and replace them with the fullness of the life-giving message of the gospel. We understand that in order to get into heaven, it is by faith, not by works. But how quickly we forget that. And we begin to live under the burden again of a performance-based religion, when Christ has already performed perfectly for us. If we walk through the truths in Galatians, I encourage you, let the Lord do His work in you. Let Him bring deeper and greater joy and freedom as you consider the purity of the gospel. When we better understand the gospel as Christians, the Lord relieves us of so many of the heavy burdens that we carry, that we need not carry, in the form of fear and anxiety, and replace them with the true joy and the peace of Christ, which is exactly what the gospel is designed to deliver. So let's read our passage together this morning. It's Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That's deep and is beautiful. So there are 3 primary truths that I would like to present and lift out of our passage this morning. As we progress through Galatians, we'll see some of these principles over and over again, which is good. Because we can never get enough, too much of it. The first idea that I want to present to you this morning that we've already spoken to is this. To look to the promise. One truth that we have stressed over and over again in Galatians is understanding the roots of the gospel. The gospel was not made up by the disciples as they sat around a campfire wondering what's next. The gospel is rooted in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's very edifying to understand how the Bible all fits together beautifully. The Old Testament is not just a random collection of Bible stories. My pastor would always tell us that the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is the unfolding drama of redemption. As we travel through the Old Testament, we see clues as to what God is doing and why. It is true that much of this for us comes in sharp focus in hindsight. When considering the Old Testament as a Christian, may I recommend that you focus on Abraham, not Moses. Let me say that again. Focus on Abraham, not Moses. The promise that God made to Abraham was unconditional. God would perform it. That through Abraham's line, the Messiah would come, who would be a blessing to all nations. Abraham was commended for his faith. Faith. Genesis 15. When God told him that in his old age, that through his lineage, the Messiah would come, there was a big problem. And it wasn't lost on Abraham, nor on Sarah. We're too old to have kids. How is this going to work out? Abraham tries to fix it himself. I know. What God must have been saying is that somebody in my greater household, that would be the heir that he was speaking of. But God told Abraham, no. Through your line, you will have a son in your old age. Genesis 15 says that Abraham believed God. He believed that God could and would do the impossible because God keeps his promises. And it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Faith. Why do we focus on Abraham? Because the promise or the covenant that God made with Abraham was directly tied to the gospel. Now Moses came along 400 years later. He brought us the law. The law was given to teach the Israelites how to live in the midst of pagan neighbors. The law, the Ten Commandments, etc., help us today see that we need a Savior. Why? Because we look at God's righteous commandments and His laws, and it doesn't take long for us to say, well, I don't measure up to that. If we're honest with ourselves. The law serves as a tutor or a guardian to point us to faith in Christ. Until that work is done in our hearts and our minds, we're just like the rest of the world. But God's righteous law shows us that we need a Savior. That's a good thing. But when the Lord completes his work in us through the law in bringing us to Christ, we must not continue to live under its grasp as if there was a storm cloud over us trying to perform so that God will love us. When we come to faith in Christ, we are now co-heirs with Christ. We remember that the law was given to the Israelites. It was a conditional covenant. Honor me and I will honor you. Dishonor me and I will curse you. Friends, these conditional promises are not gospel principles. They are not gospel principles. So when the Galatians started going back to the law because of the Judaizers, Paul says, hang on, you've missed the whole point. This is terrible. We've got to get this straight. So we as Christians need to stop thinking in those terms, performance-based, and stand with confidence upon the unconditional promise of the gospel that is rooted in Abraham. When we understand this, when we can correctly read the Old Testament, I promise you, it brings such joy and such peace. But now I'd like to show you a little Jesus flex. If you would turn to John chapter 8. This is important. John chapter 8. As great as Abraham was in the eyes of the Jew, as important as he is in God's unfolding drama of redemption, we don't want to make another mistake and lift him too high. He was just a guy that God used. And I'd like to demonstrate that for you very briefly, and I want you to see it in your own Bible. John chapter 8. You might recall that Jesus and the Pharisees and the religious leaders had lots of little, they locked horns sometimes. And it usually, never worked out well for the other party. But they're now talking about Abraham with Jesus. I just would like to highlight, beginning in verse 56, towards the very end. This is from the lips of Jesus himself. They were having a little discussion about Abraham, and they were saying, well, he's our father. Who are you? Get out of here. And he basically said this, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. You see, Abraham understood the magnitude of the promise that was given to him. Well, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Who are you talking about? How do you know these things? You're not old and wise like us. Jesus said to them, verse 58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That is one of the most profound statements on the deity of Christ you will find anywhere in the New Testament. Before Abraham was, the guy you're trying to hang your hat on, before Abraham was, I am. I am Almighty God in human flesh. It was through his line that I myself would put on human flesh that I might redeem those under the law. Speaking of which, going back to Galatians, we have in our passage this morning one of the most sublime statements regarding the gospel in all scripture. It is a treasure chest. It is verse 4. We can understand this verse by asking and answering the question, why did Jesus die? We've talked about this in a sermon series a couple years ago. With great clarity and specificity, the truth of the gospel is laid out in chapter 4, verse 4. when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The Jews were longing for the day when Messiah would come. At long last, he came. But he wasn't late. Things weren't held up in heaven. At just the right time, at the fullness of time, he came. He came to be the Savior of the world. But watch what he says. Every little phrase is important. He was born of a woman. Now let's just stop there for a moment. I know it's 2024, but that's an odd statement to make. Who's not born of a woman? You see, with Jesus, you have to say things that you would not otherwise say for someone else. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus is fully human. He is God in human flesh. So we have to be clear that though he is God, he also became a man, a person fully. But not only that, but he was born under the law, just like everyone else. He had responsibility to keep God's righteous law, and unlike every last one of us, he did it. He kept God's law. We call that his active obedience. He became the only one suitable to redeem sinners from our predicament, just like the Passover lamb. A young male lamb without defect, Christ was without sin. He never once succumbed to temptation. He had no sin nature. That was the purpose of his testing in the wilderness right after his baptism. Remember what Jesus said. Let me go back. It says that he redeemed us from the law. That's why Jesus said in the first sermon that he ever preached, that's recorded, the Sermon on the Mount, at the very beginning, the first words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Why is this so important? Christ fulfilled the law. He obeyed God. He did what we could never do. So that now, if we will humble ourselves and see our own sin and our inability to correct our own problem, when we are poor in spirit, when we trust in Jesus for salvation, ours is the kingdom of God. But there's more. He not only redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians said, but he also transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have full adoption into God's forever family. Using legal terminology, we are said to be adopted as sons. We have all the legal rights of one who is in God's family, but also no longer under the guardianship of the law because of our faith in Christ. Saints, do you see this? It is so beautiful. It is so powerful. Let's continue. Third point, let us focus on eternal future glory. This is what we call the eternal perspective. You see, my life, your life, is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And you're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Neither am I. Why would I live for lesser things? Why would I devote my life to making as much money as I possibly can? When I know full well within a few decades, I'm out of here. That's short-sighted. Why would I live my whole life to build my own reputation when He is the one who is worthy of all my praise and all my adoration? The persecution and the difficulties and the grief that we experience in life, saints, it will not last forever. It simply will not. There's a beautiful passage, I'll just read this, from Romans 8 that speaks directly to this. Verse 22, talking about the creation longing for Christ's return. He says, not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, when our salvation is complete. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience. Friends, when life is going well, we long for something better. When life turns upside down, and oftentimes on a dime, we long for what is ahead. We groan inwardly, along with creation itself, for the completion of our salvation to be fully revealed. We know there is more. How many people do we know who chase after everything the world offers? And they will look you right in the face. Give a little time. And they'll say, I'm just as empty now as I was 10 years ago. We know that we were not created for all of these sad goodbyes. Rather, we're waiting for our eternal home. Fellow saints, set your eyes on Jesus. Stand on the promises of the gospel. Do not, under any circumstances, engage or make room for legalism in your thinking, in your practice, or in your heart. Do not make any room for legalism or any of its nefarious cousins. You were bought at a price with the precious blood of Jesus. Honor God with your body, serve the Lord with gladness, live your lives in the joy of the Holy Spirit, but do not subject yourselves to man-made principles that are not of Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Live in that freedom. Exult in that freedom. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the joy of the Lord. And I promise you, as you grow in this way, as God intended, you will indeed be good news to all those around you. You won't be able to help it. I'd like to close us with 1 Peter. I'd just like to read this. Feel free to turn with me if you like. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter here, this is a different voice than Paul. Peter speaks to the same things that Paul's been speaking of. Remember Peter, we all love him. He put his foot in his mouth at every opportunity. But here he is now filled with the Holy Spirit, an apostle of the Lord. verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. Remember the word inherit, heir. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through fire, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. That's a Christian. We have not laid eyes on our Savior. Oh, but we love him. You believe, though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning. We are gathered together in your name. We rejoice in the truth of the gospel. We rejoice in your faithfulness to keep every last promise that you have ever made to us. We thank you for the clarity of the gospel. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. We thank you that through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we are made to be a part of your family. We thank you for all of the testimonies that are present even in this room. We look forward to and we long for the day when we will be with you forever, free from grief, temptation, trials, sadness, sorrows, grief in many kinds. Lord, help us to keep our focus on you. Renew us day by day. Remind us over and over again that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Protect us from ourselves, from living for lesser things or going back to the old way that was never the intent of the gospel. Give us great joy as we stand upon the promises of the gospel, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we pray that the clarity of the gospel would be understood by everyone in the sound of my voice. That being made right with you is not about working hard or performing or doing religious duties or penance or any of those things, but in repentance, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ alone as our Savior, believing that what he did on the cross is sufficient for us. Lord, we pray that if there is someone here this morning who has not put their faith fully and finally in Christ alone for salvation, that today would be the day of their salvation. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.